Welcome to another edition of Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show, our Tuesday edition where we talk about the Blue Water Area Conference, high school A player football. We're going to touch on the Greater Thumb Conference a little bit because of our game of the week also, and forfeits. But let me forfeit the scores to you from week four. Our game coverage on week four as we recap and give our take on it. It was our game of the night, and we'll be back for homecoming night in Marlette. Marlette gets the win over Sandusky 28-14. Obelie shuts out the Harbor Beach Pirates 42-0 to take a strong lead in the Greater Thumb East League title. Cass City shuts out Memphis 70-0. Lakers, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Vassar over Carroll 19-14. Bad Axe shuts out Reese 52-0. Blue Water Area Conference, it was North Branch over Almont 34-14. Armada shuts out Emily City 48-0. Good bounce back win for Armada after their loss to Croswell. Yale takes down Richmond 36-7. And in the North Central Thumb Stars and Stripes high school eight player football, it was Deckerville over Genesee 58-6 on a Thursday. Kingston playing on a Thursday also, flying in and beating Burton Atherton 44-22. Good win there. Friday games, it was North Huron defeating the Carsonville Port Stanley Tigers 20-8. Peck Pirates tops Ashley 42-26. Bay City All Saints shuts out Caseville 36-0. New Haven Merritt over Akron Fairgrove. No Horn this week, 38-22. And high school eight player football on Saturday is Auburn Hills Oakland Christian crushing KPAC 52-14. Brown City over Sutton's Bay. We'll talk about this big game. 58-40 was the win for Brown City. And forfeits with Mayville over Flint International. Eight-player football. Croswell Lexington getting a forfeit win over Algonac 1-0. And it was Lakers flooding Unionville Sebring with a forfeit win 1-0. This has been the story here behind the scenes, and now it's confirmed. We got more forfeits here. Mike Gallagher, who's here from the Sandlot County News. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I missed you guys yesterday. Had a little bit of work to take care of. So it's nice to be in on a Tuesday. And I'm looking forward to talking about Marlette Sandusky. Obviously, that was your game of the week. That was our game of the week, so to speak.
Yep.
There's a lot of fun there. And we were both in Brown City on Saturday, so we got a lot to talk about.
Scotty B. for the Tuscola County Advertiser, who joined me in the tail end of the show yesterday on Monday to talk about our Vassar and Carroll coverage that you did. You were also at the Brown City game, and great to have you back again on Tuesday.
Hey, thank you for having me back, as always, Eddie.
Working on your deadline. Your paper's out tomorrow, right?
It is, yeah. Paper is officially, well, my part of it, B, is out, which is my sports section. So I can breathe a deep sigh of relief once again until Friday morning.
And you as well, tomorrow, your paper comes out.
Yep, we'll be out tomorrow. We wrapped everything up yesterday. I was a little bit behind schedule. That's why I couldn't make it in yesterday. That's on me. But
No. Paper's more important, Mike.
Yeah, well, but yeah, like Scott said, another week down. And now, you know, it's always nice. You get to breathe that sigh of relief when you get the newspaper out, and then you actually get to go out and cover the games, which is the fun part of the job.
Yeah, we should maybe forfeit our coverage, too. Speaking of forfeits, Unionville Seaboyne has announced they have to forfeit another game. And this week they would have played Bad Axe this week?
Yep, USA would have played Bad Axe this week. And, you know, we don't necessarily know all the stuff going on behind the scenes. I know people are pretty upset with USA. But, you know, it's just a tough situation. We were there. Me and Scott were actually both there for the Marlette-USA game, and they suffered quite a few injuries. And, you know, when you're a young team like USA and, you know, you don't have a whole lot of depth, those couple of injuries can make a big difference. And I just want to, you know, credit USA for trying to put a team out there this year. And, you know, it sounds like they're going to take this on a week-to-week basis. So, you know, hopefully we see them again. Mm-hmm. Because it's always better when, you know, USA is playing. So,
Scotty, how do you feel on this?
Yeah, you know, it stinks, obviously, because, you know, I know that USA would rather be playing. At least Coach Hahn would rather be playing. The boys would rather be playing, you know. So, and I'm sure the community would rather be out at a game. And, you know, as Mike said, we were out at the game against Marlette, and there were some injuries in that game. Landon Russell, who's easily their top player, didn't look exactly right against Reese, had some nice big runs, but you could just tell that they're bumped around, bruised around. And, you know, going into the season, Coach Hahn, I'll say the quote again. He said, you know, I love the guys that I have out there. The only problem is I don't have a lot of them out there. So that's just one of those things. The community keeps shrinking as far as enrollment goes. And, you know, I've heard it from a couple different coaches up there. They're just, you know, baffled by the way the numbers drop every year up at USA. And it's just now, you know, this is kind of the this is what you get out of dropping enrollment. You're gonna have to figure out another way to play and maybe go the same route as Brown City recently went.
I know it's all across the board now. The drop in participation in football, is it dropping around here? Are they going to other sports?
Right. I mean, with USA, they offer soccer, and not saying they're going to draw a lot from soccer, but it's just one of those things where you offer another sport, and they're like, hey, I'd rather do that than get, you know, beat around every week. So, and, although soccer can get pretty physical as well, but, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm not blaming it on soccer. I'm not blaming it on any other sport. I'm just saying when there's other options there, kids tend to, you know, say, hey, I'm not getting as much playing time. I don't want to get beat up. I don't want to get hit by the guy that's 50 pounds bigger than me. I'm just going to go over here and do this sport instead.
Hmm. And you, what are you seeing here in Santa County?
I'm personally probably not smart enough to explain or understand the enrollment dips, the participation drops with high school athletics. I know COVID really, you know, really hurt participation. We're obviously out of the woods on that issue, but you know, it's a tough situation. And, you know, it has a lot to do with where we live. You know, there's just not as many people living in Sanilac County as there used to be, you know, and sometimes it's just as simple as that. You know, there's just not as many people, not as many kids.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to talk about some key victories on some big games, and we'll talk about some of those games. And when we come back here on Sportsline Radio, High School Football Sports Show, a recap of the Week 4 action in the Blue Water Area Conference, high school week player football, and we'll touch on a game in the Greater Thumb Conference that we'll have coverage also. Our game of the week, by the way, we're going to be back in Marlette for homecoming as the Marlette Red Raiders will host the Harbor Beach Pirates. Marlette coming off the high with a win over Sandusky, while Harbor Beach is smarting off the shutout loss to Ubley, which hasn't happened in quite some time. Also, if you listen to the show on Monday, you can hear Paul Adams a recap on that situation, the history on that, and which is up now on podcast form on our website at sanilacbroadcasting.com. So we'll be back with Scotty and Mike Gallagher here. Mike Gallagher, the Sanilac County News, and Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser, located in Carroll, Michigan, in Tuscola County. We'll be right back here on Sportsline High School Football Sports Show on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Mark McGarry here from More Motor Sales in Carroll. If you are planning a new car or truck purchase, or you have a current lease expiring, it's time to start planning ahead. Inventory shortages and extended order delivery times are expected to continue. Whether you want to buy or lease, turn your car in or trade it in, we can help you make the best decision to capitalize on the current market conditions. Ford Motor Company is offering an order incentive of $1,000 on many vehicle lines over and above any other rebate to place your custom order. That's More Motor Sales just west of Caro on M81. Visit us on the web at themoreautogroup.com and come see why for 57 years your friends and neighbors have been driving to Caro.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. I'm Eddie Fury, along with Scott Bowles. We are the Tuscola County Advertiser, and Mike Gallagher of the Sanilac County News. All three of us and other media were at this game. I was doing the game for Thumb Tugger Sports. on Channel 1 with Dave Frederick, and we did the Brown City Green Devils High School A-Player football game on a Saturday afternoon. Beautiful, warm day. A little bit of a breeze out there against the Suttons Bay Norsemen, who drove over 3+ miles, left about 6 in the morning to come down. Fantastic game, top to bottom, I thought. And it came down to the turnovers, and Suttons Bay committed 2 key turnovers that Brown City took advantage of and also recovered some onside kicks. But it was the final score, 58-40. I was almost hoping to get to 100 points in this game. We didn't make it. We almost did, but we just short of 2 points. And that's Brown City's fault because they didn't convert any two-point conversions in earlier in the game. But, man, 481 yards rushing for Brown City. Just 35 yards passing to Suttons Bay's 193 yards passing, 265 yards rushing. But this was a huge win for the Brown City Green Devils, in my opinion, because I proclaimed it. You know, we have it on audio.
That aged well, yeah. That aged well.
I think Brown City is the best Thumb area high school A-player football team, and I thought this game kind of proved it a little bit to that point. Now, I know there's other media will bring up the issue, well, they aren't playing any NCTL teams at this point. I think Brown City is right up there with the best Thumb area teams in the NCTL A-player football, but now Brown City is going to have a tough challenge at Martin this week, but let's talk about this game. Mike, what did you see in this Brown City Green Devil offense? This offense is starting to really click right now.
Yeah. Well, first, let me just set this up real quick. Suttons Bay, for those of you that don't know, they're kind of an eight-player power. You know, the last 3 years, last year they were 12-1. Their one loss was in the state finals. Year before, 10-1. That was the COVID-shortened year. The one loss was in the state finals. And then the year before that, 12-1. Only loss was in the state finals. So Suttons Bay, this is a team that's a state title contender, you know. And, you know, now, you know, I think you can probably put Brown City in that conversation. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, you know. I don't want to jinx anything. But, you know, I think that's a signature win for Brown City. You know, you look at the beginning of their schedule. That Peck win, you know, Peck. Since that loss, Peck has won 3 straight games.
Yeah.
But those are against schools more of their size. I think in that game, Brown City just had, you know, better numbers, better size. And then the 2 games after that, Brown City wasn't really tested. And, you know, that was something Coach Cooper talked about after the game was, you know, we hadn't really faced any adversity this season, and we knew we were going to see it against Suttons Bay. And they did. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned the 2-point conversions. But I think what really stood out to me from this game, I would say, you know, Scott, you and me were talking about it before the game. Suttons Bay, they had some size. And mm-hmm. I would almost go as far to say that Suttons Bay definitely had a size advantage over Brown City. And when there's a size advantage like that, what you worry about is later in the game, okay, Suttons Bay is just going to wear them down. You know, Brown City may hang with them, and, you know, but eventually Suttons Bay will just wear them down. But what we saw was the exact opposite. It was Brown City that wore out Suttons Bay. And that was both offensively and defensively. We saw Brown City stick to the double tight formation and just ran the ball all day. And by the time the fourth quarter came around, they were running the ball pretty well. Defensively, you know, Suttons Bay was keeping up. And I apologize because I don't have the roster right in front of me, but Scott, number 4... Mm-hmm.
That was Sean Bramer.
Sean Bramer. Okay. Yep. He was a fantastic player, and I don't have the stats right in front of me either, but he must have had 200 yards rushing and 150 receiving.
Yeah, he had 224 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns and 16 carries, 7 receptions, 106 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was definitely the player of the game.
Right.
Kyle Affer was right behind him right there, you know.
But
who had 250 yards, 21 carries and 5 touchdowns in this game.
Right, but what the Brown City defense did was they just kept attacking this kid. Yeah, he had a lot of big plays in the first half and even in the third quarter, but the Brown City defense just wore him down. And I think that was the thing that stood out to me the most. Brown City was the more physical team. They were in better shape, and you know, they didn't do anything too crazy on offense. They lined up in the double tight, and they said, we're going to run it. We're going to hand it off to Kyle Affer, and why don't you see if you can do something about it? And Suttons Bay couldn't stop it. 58 points. That's just a fantastic showing, and, you know, it's something we've talked about every week with Brown City. It starts with that offensive line. You know, you've got three senior offensive linemen, and then you put two senior running backs behind that. It's just a recipe for success.
Scotty?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Mike pretty much said everything I was thinking of as well. Going into the game, I said, wow, these guys are big. But I kind of thought back the same to Kingston and Oakland Christian. Going into that game, I was like, man, these guys are big. Like, they're going to take care of business, and Kingston could be in trouble here. But Brown City, just like Kingston, proved me wrong. And, you know, it was a very impressive game to watch. I mean, that was my first Brown City game I got to see this year, and it was impressive to watch them play. They, you know, took it to Sutton's Bay, and I just, you know, they hit that outside corner, and that's all she wrote. I mean, they were hitting that outside corner, and the speed, you know, kicked in. And they're figuring some stuff out. Now, you know, there was some key plays that really stuck out to me, including there was a big run by Sutton's Bay in the second half, or was it the end of the first half? One of the two. They broke off a huge run, and then they shot themselves in the foot with back-to-back holding calls, ended up being a first and goal or first and 30 back at, like, the 31-yard line. So, you know, that hurt them. They could have scored. I think it was just before halftime. Either way, you know, they could have put up some more points on the board, but still, an impressive showing by Brown City and Affer and, you know, Clint Ford. And as Mike said, that offensive line was impressive as well, holding their own against a very big squad in Sutton's Bay. And, yeah, I mean, Sutton's Bay, just like Mike said, they're a very well-known eight-player football team. They just knocked out Kingston a couple of years ago in the state semifinals and went on to the state finals. So they're well-known around the area. And you know, I think that's probably, as of right now, Brown City's best win, as they are 4-0. And I mean, I think, you know, out of the first four games, I think that's kind of that monumental win as they start off eight-player action.
I think also it was the adjustment by the coaches, but also their influence, because Brown City was not really playing hard on defense in that first quarter. And then once the coaches started calling a timeout and kind of really laying it into the players, hey, we got to play a lot more faster. We got to wrap up better on these tackles just to slow them down along, because these guys are strong and quick. They're going to be moving their legs. So let's wrap them up. And then you started to see that more and more. And Brown City defense was able to capitalize, at least slow them down, because the time it was taking Sutton's Bay to get down on field, you know, they scored a couple touchdowns before the end of the half.
Yeah.
A 65-yarder touchdown with a minute and 11 seconds left. And then they got the ball back again, almost scored again, that, like Scotty's referencing.
Yeah, that could have been a huge swing. And I believe that was, there was Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was 25 seconds left on the clock. And we're like, oh, maybe they left too much time for Brown City. But Sutton's Bay recovers the onside kick. And, you know, they have a couple heaves to the end zone, one that arguably should have been caught. So, I mean, it was a close game up until about the fourth quarter, I would say. And then that's really when Brown City started to wear them out.
I absolutely agree.
The other key thing was Brown City, I think, adjusted to the eight-player game, because they did those line drive onside, but right into the player chest type of kicks.
Oh, yeah, that was probably the biggest swing in the game, was Brown City recovering, what, two onside kicks in a row?
Two key ones, and they scored on those.
They scored on both possessions, and, you know, the interception at the end by Ethan Worrell. It was just a lot of big plays. I mean, special teams defensively, and then offensively, it was just kind of grinded out. And then every once in a while, you'd have Kyle Afford break away. You'd have Clint Ford break away. Lawson Cooper, even, he had the first touchdown of the game.
46 yards.
46-yarder, that's your quarterback. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect coming into this game, just because of who Brown City had played so far. And, you know, Sutton's Bay has that reputation. But, man, I was really impressed with Brown City this weekend.
Think about this. The score was 42-32 at the half. And then in the third quarter, it was 40-42. A lot of time was taken off in that third quarter alone.
Sutton's Bay had a huge drive to start the third quarter. And, you know, it seemed like a solid game plan.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't stop Brown City. So what they want to do is just, you know, use up as much clock as they can on offense and kind of play that game. Because, Sutton's Bay was moving the ball pretty well at the beginning of the third quarter.
And, there was only three touchdowns in the second half compared to all the, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 touchdowns in the first half alone compared to the three that we only saw in the second half.
Yeah, it was kind of a tale of two halves, yeah.
So Brown City now has another huge test.
Yeah.
This was a one-loss team from Sutton's Bay coming in. Now they got Martin. Martin is a very tough team. they're not in the independent league like Brown City and Onakaba and Suns Bay are. Martin right now is 4-0, undefeated right now. And this is a road game also for Brown City. Yeah, you can be on this high, beating the last 3 years of a state finalist. Now you're going up, against an opponent that made it to the semifinals also and lost only 36-14 to Adrian Lenawee Christian of last year.
And I'd imagine that's probably the closest game Lenawee Christian had last year.
Yeah. So, can Brown City keep this up? I mean, they're growing up as Martin Clippers. I don't know this team. Have you seen this team yourself before in the past there, Scotty?
No, I have never seen Martin. I finally heard about them this year, and they're kind of maybe one of those teams that are hot for a year and then, you know, 2 years or whatever, and then you don't hear from again, a player. But it seems like they got a pretty good track record the past 4 years, and they're 4-0, and they haven't allowed more than 6 points since week one against Mendon. Shutout back-to-back, 76-0 last week, 60-0 the week before. They look like the real deal. I don't know much about them, but they definitely look tough on paper.
Yeah, since 2018, they lost in a district I think they weren't even eight-player football then. They lost by 1 point, and then when they got into the eight-player football leagues in 2019, they already were in the regionals. Then they made it to the semifinals in 2020, and then last year, semifinals, but the loss to Adrian Lenawee Christian. So, big test here for the Brown City Green Devils. They're up against Martin. This will be on the road. I do believe it's still Friday, or does anybody know any different?
I should know.
Or Saturday? It's a long ways. It's on the west side of the state.
I'd imagine it would be a Saturday game, but yeah. don't quote me on that.
I think it is. Yeah. I think I saw on MHSA earlier it is, but 100% I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, good luck to the Brown City Green Devils. We kick things off on eight-player football. Usually we would start off on BWAC, but we'll have that coming up.
Such a big game. Yeah, we got to bump it to the front. Yeah.
All right. So the Brown City Green Devils, good luck to them up against Martin. Another big true test for the Brown City Green Devils and see if they can go 5-0. If not, not bad start right now if they do lose and go to 4-1 at this point.
I think if you would have talked to Brown City before the season and said they'd be in the position to start the season 5-0, I think they'd probably take that.
Have you guys ever seen the coaches of Brown City that animated in the past? I have not. You know, jumping around.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because Coach Sheridan and Coach Cooper kind of complement each other in that way. You know, Coach Cooper is kind of the I don't want to say laid back, but more kind of the calm presence on the sideline. And Coach Jimmy Sheridan, man, he gets them fired up, and you know, he's been a great addition to the Brown City staff.
All right, we'll be right back here. This segment has been long on this Sports Line Radio High School Football Sports Show. We'll be back in the 6 o'clock hour. Talk about more eight player and the BWAC. Your friends at Liberty Lanes and Sandusky say, come join the team. The fall bowling leagues will soon be starting, and Liberty Lanes has openings for the Monday night and Wednesday morning ladies leagues, as well as men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Liberty Lanes also has mixed leagues on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evenings. For more information or sign up, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes and talk to Roger or Heidi. Plus, Liberty Lanes is a great place to eat. Great food, drinks, and spirits. They are also hiring for all positions, so apply now at Liberty Lanes, located at the West Park Plaza and Sandusky. Call 810-648-9860. 810-648-9860. And like them on Facebook and their website, BoldLibertyLanes.com.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment, rental, sales, and service in Fort Gratiot today.
Six o'clock hour. Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. And we're still talking about high school eight-player football games. And KPEC came in up against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. And Auburn Hills Oakland Christian just laid the hammer down on them. In fact, at one point at the half, it was 40-0. For KPEC, got a score with a 50-yard pass from Carlos Uribe Arce to Zach Langmesser for 50 yards, making it 40-6 to save some face. They got another touchdown and a two-point conversion. Derek Mason, a 79-yard pass from Carlos Uribe also, making it 52-14. But that's where it ended. Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian with the big win over KPEC. KPEC in this game, 229 yards, limited to Just one, and it was only 39 yards rushing from Capex, so being forced to go to the air with 990 yards. Now Auburn Hills Oakland Christian with this win kind of set themselves up probably in the running now for a the North Central Thumb League division title. That's the Stripes division, I believe, right? Or Stars.
They'll be in the Stars, and they're going to need a little bit of help because they've already lost to Kingston.
Right.
Now, they do have Deckerville this week.
Yeah.
Currently, Kingston and Deckerville are both ahead of Oakland Christian, so they would need to beat Deckerville, and then they would need Deckerville to beat Kingston, and then it would be a three-way tie.
So this kind of sets us off up right now. This week, Auburn Hills Oakland Christian is going up against Deckerville. I do believe the Thumbtugger Sports Crew is going to be covering this game. But Deckerville had a really good bounce-back win after their beating against by Toledo Christian. And this week, this past week in week four, they won over Genesee. That was a Thursday night game, I do believe. 56-8 was the final score for Deckerville. Let's talk about that game. They bounced back well, doing the typical Deckerville offense.
Yeah, and, you know, there's quite a few things that stand out from this game. Obviously, we weren't in attendance, so we're kind of just basing this off of some of the stats. But when you hear the final score, 58-6, it's like, okay, that's a great offensive showing from Deckerville. But what really stands out is the defense for Deckerville. Genesee had -1 yards on 13 carries, and they had 19 yards passing on 15 attempts. So 18 total yards. That's just a ridiculous number, especially when, you know, the biggest question mark for Deckerville coming into this year was their secondary, you know, on defense. They talked about how young they were going to be and how that would probably be a disadvantage at the beginning of the season. But when you have so many young players on the defensive side of the ball, you know, those players are going to get a lot better during the season. And I think we're seeing that right now. That's great to see because, you know, you got Oakland Christian this week and you got Kingston the week after that. So you'd like to have your defense figured out. And, you know, I'm not saying Genesee is anywhere near as good as Oakland Christian or Kingston, but it's nice to see Deckerville take care of business against Genesee. Now, on the flip side of that, obviously it was a great offensive showing, 281 rushing yards on 47 attempts. And, you know, this year we've seen Deckerville go to the air a little bit more. New starting quarterback in Hunter Garza.
Young quarterback.
As a team, they were 6 of 9 passing, 139 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Garza was 5 of 8, 128, and 3 touchdowns. Backup quarterback Ian Flanagan got in, 1 completion, 11 yards, and a touchdown. And the running attack. Again, as I said, we weren't at the game. I don't see anything here for Peter Lapp. He was kind of their workhorse the first couple weeks, hoping that it's not injury-related. But Parker Merriman, first 100-yard game of his career, 16 carries, 102 yards, 3 touchdowns. Dylan Ball, who really stood out in the second half against Toledo Christian.
He's been doing the bulk of the lead blocking, I do believe.
Yes, yep, yeah. And you know, he was getting a bulk of the carries in the second half against Toledo Christian. I believe he finished with 15 carries, 56 yards, which, you know, not too crazy, but in a game like that, you know, that's a solid sign. Dylan Ball against Genesee, 13 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Garza had 31 yards, Chris Kozel had 19 yards, and Corbin Sharbowski had 37 yards. Receiving, Connor Palmer, 3 receptions, 86 yards. He is currently the leading receiver in Santa Lac County. Derek Osborne, a touchdown, 25-yard touchdown. Chris Kozel, 34-yard touchdown. And David Shanks caught the 11-yard touchdown pass from Ian Flanagan. So just really nice to see Deckerville get back on track. And we're really going to find out about Deckerville these next 2 weeks. I think Toledo Christian was a little bit out of their league. I think Toledo Christian would be out of the league of a lot of teams around here. That was just a really great team. And so it was nice to see Deckerville get back into the swing of things against Genesee. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they'll compete against Oakland Christian and Kingston, who have both proven to be contenders for the Stars title.
Yeah, the common opponent here is Dakerville beating KPAC in week 2. We covered that game 40-28. Most of those points came in the second half where Dakerville was able to readjust. Whereas I'm looking at Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, a 52-14 win over KPAC. They put up 267 yards passing, 14-20 on KPAC. Also ran the ball for 251 ridiculous yards. And against Kingston, they put up only 60 yards passing, but they had 171 yards rushing and did get 2 touchdowns. But that was a win for Kingston, Scotty. And we're all kind of maybe kind of not really looking at Kingston. I mean, you may be. We know Orlin Corliss is a player. He's proven it right now. One of the top players in 8-player football. But maybe the rest of us are not really maybe thinking, overlooking Kingston a little bit, whereas Dakerville is just going to go ahead and beat them. We probably should maybe take a step back here, because maybe Auburn Hills Oakland Christian is a little bit better, and we know Kingston obviously beat Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, but I like the balanced offense of Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, Scotty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they were a good team. When I went to that game, it was at noon on Labor Day weekend on that Friday, and I rolled in, and right away Auburn Hills Oakland Christian returns the kickoff for a touchdown. I said, oh boy, here we go. But Kingston was able to settle down, get into a groove, and you know, the Auburn Hills Oakland Christian squad is big. They're physical. They got some playmakers on there. And just like number 4 for Sutton's Bay there, there is a kid, number 22 for Oakland Christian, that is the same type of player. Big kid, can run the ball, and I'm not sure why they didn't go to him more. He definitely could have had a game like the kid from Sutton's Bay. But, yeah, they're a good squad, and I think that was a good win for Kingston. And, you know, obviously I'm going to fight for my teams over here in Tuscola County and say that Kingston had a great game, and Owen Corliss is a phenomenal athlete, but that offensive line for Kingston was huge in that game, and I think that's going to be a key piece for any team against Oakland Christian. Is you got to have the dudes up front in the trenches fighting for every yard that you can get. They were a good physical squad, and I think it's going to be a battle for anybody. I know we have Dakerville still to play them and Brown City, and just off the top of my head from the top teams and the 8 players. So there's still some top teams that have to go through that Lancer squad.
I think it's a little bit ironic that Eddie, the one who made the proclamation last week before Brown City beat Sutton's Bay, that Brown City was the best 8-player team in the thumb, now today tells us, hey, maybe we're overlooking Kingston. Maybe we should take a step back and look at Kingston. But yeah, I think...
I didn't say they were the best.
No, I think it's Kingston and Brown City, maybe 1A, 1B situation currently. And that Oakland Christian win that Kingston got a couple weeks ago, it just looks better and better every week. By the way, that Oakland Christian is playing against the other teams in the Stars. So.
Yeah. 846 total yards passing for Jordan Johnson. He has 719 yards passing. He also can run. Jordan Johnson has 176 yards. But total as a team right now, we're Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, 891 yards rushing. So well-balanced offense from Auburn Hills, so they can throw anything they got at you. Kingston obviously was better that day.
Yeah, and Oakland Christian, from what I saw in the preseason, they do a lot of different things offensively. A lot of spread stuff, a lot of read option stuff, and that can be very tough to defend when you have the right type of playmakers at quarterback and running back.
Okay, Scotty, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about those Kingston Cardinals. You have some good info on them, on their win also, as they're getting ready for another big game themselves, and then come in a couple weeks, they'll be at Dakerville. That's going to be a huge game in the North Central Thumb League, also division. We'll be right back here in Sportsline. High School Football Sports Show. We're talking 8-player football, and don't worry, BWAC fans, we're coming to you. We'll be right back here in WMIC.
There are names of businesses in our hometown that stand out because of their reputation, their professionalism, and their longevity. One of these cornerstones is the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Since 1978, Grant Smith has been preserving and providing security through health insurance policies when most needed. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency today and know that he will also be here for you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
What does better internet mean to you? Is it faster speeds, an affordable price, overall reliability, or quality customer service?
There's a reason Agra Valley Services is the better choice for internet, and it's because we stand behind our service. We have faster speeds than ever before, and our prices are affordable with no gimmicks or hidden fees. We pride ourselves on our reliability, and our friendly customer service team is there to help when needed.
For the past 25 years, Agra Valley Services has simply done it better. We treat our customers like neighbors because we're local. Plus, our selection of plans are designed to meet the demands of today's internet users. Whether you're a family or a business, located in town or out in the country.
So what are you waiting for? Make the switch to Agra Valley Services and get better internet. Call the sales team today at 888-282-4932 or go to agravalleyservices.com.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio, high school football sports show. Still on the topic of high school A-player football with Scotty Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser. Mike Gallagher is with me from the Sandlick County News. Both the publication newspapers come out tomorrow on Wednesday. Pick them up or get an online subscription also. So now we move on to the Kingston Cardinals. They get their win, which was over Burton Atherton, 44-22. Do they have an opponent this week, Scotty? And before we get to that, let's talk about their win over Burton Atherton. A good win there, 44-22. Right now, they're 4-0. They beat Akron Fairgrove, Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, who's at Deckerville this week. Genesee, another common opponent here that Deckerville had. They won 50-14. Kingston did. And now Burton Atherton, 44-22. 22 points put up by Burton Atherton, but still a good win here for Kingston.
Yeah, a big win to keep things rolling for Kingston. They go up 22-0 at halftime. They're able to close things out to get the win, and I'm sure, you know, Coach Jones is probably still not as happy. He sent us a quote over after I think it was on Monday, and said, you know, we still have to clean some stuff up. We got a big game against Deckerville coming up in a couple weeks, and as of then. He said, you know, we don't play this week and probably won't, but, you know, I'm going to put a pause on that real quick. I'll get to that in just a second on a possibility, but I don't know how much it's going to, you know, going to blossom into. I don't want to say too much, but anyways, another big game for the rushing attack for Kingston. Owen Corliss, 20 carries for 136 yards and a pair of touchdowns. James Wilson, 6 carries for 84 yards, 3 touchdowns. Corliss also was 8 of 10 through the air for 97 yards and a score. That was a 35-yard strike to freshman Tanner James just before halftime. Then you look at the defensive side of things. You know, they have had a great year on defense. Michael DeRosso, he's one of those names to watch out for. He could have a big impact on that Deckerville game. He had 9 tackles, 2.5 for losses, and 2.5 sacks in that game. James Rail had 9 tackles, one of them for a loss. And then Miles Spencer had a sack and a half in that game. And then Tanner James also had 6 tackles, one of those for a loss. And then, you know, just a all-around game for Kingston, getting the job done. You know, it might not always be pretty, but they get it done. And, you know, that 22-point first half where they shut out Atherton helped out in a big way. They gave up 2 touchdowns in the third quarter and then another one in the fourth quarter. But, you know, Atherton's not a terrible team. We saw them go up big on Mayville early. Mayville was able to rally back and get a win. So Atherton's got some athletes out there. They can throw the ball. But, you know, I'm sure Kingston happy just to get out of Burton Atherton on a Thursday with that victory.
Mike, you don't want to be Cardinals and put all your one egg in one basket, though. You got one player here, and this is, you know, they don't play this week, do they? They would have had Flint International, so are they just, they don't have a game to play?
Well,
as I was kind of telling you guys off the air, Hale was supposed to play Rogers City this week. Actually, Jeff York, formerly of Millington, he is now the superintendent at Hale. So I contacted one of the coaches from Kingston, said, hey, Rogers City is open. Maybe contact them. And I kind of got the ball rolling for them a little bit. I don't know exactly what's going on with that, but I do have them connected now. So we'll see. We'll see if they're able to pull out a game. I know that Kingston wants to play a game this week. They want to play the week before Deckerville. They don't want to stay, idle. They want to be able to go out there and be fresh and be sharp and ready to go. So it'd be a good win, or a good game, I should say. Rogers City undefeated as well this season. But that's a trip north if they decide to do that. Maybe meet halfway, or they could convince them to come south. Either way, there is a possibility they could play a game, but as of right now, they do not have a game scheduled.
Okay, now, does Kingston have enough eggs, or birds, you could say, because the offense is geared around Olin Corliss. I mean, you got one egg in the basket or in the nest. That's your main player. I think for any team, it's like, okay, who do we stop? It's that guy. I mean, do they have enough guys out there to really?
You would think that would be the idea, but teams have not been able to stop them yet. That's the biggest thing. But they do have other players. They have good wide receivers. Turner Marquardt, he had 62 yards receiving. Didn't have a touchdown, but still another big game for him. Tanner James, he is just an athlete. Obviously, younger brother of Hunter? Former two-time player of the year, Hunter James. Fast kid. He is a great quarterback in his own right.
Freshman. He's a freshman, by the way. So.
Just a freshman, yeah. And he's a big kid. He's tall, and Hunter said he's a lot bigger than I was at that age. So I can only imagine he's just going to get bigger and probably be the next quarterback in line for that Kingston squad. Then they got rushers as well. Yards didn't come aplenty, but James Rail, another one that can run the ball, James Wilson. And then Owen Corliss, obviously. But defense, it's huge for them. And then they have the big dudes in the trenches. They're able to get stuff done up front. And I think that's going to be a huge part of that Deckerville game. And Corliss is just a magician on his feet. He's fun to watch. And, he's been able to do it against some of these other squads. Interested to see if he can still do it against, the Deckervilles and the next tier teams. So, but we're going to find that out here shortly.
Yeah, I know Kingston doesn't want to look too far ahead, but it's been a while since they beat Deckerville, right?
A long while. It was my birth year, and I'm turning 35 this year. So
happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. So it's been a long time, and that game was a 9-3 game. So something tells me we're not going to see that type of result if they do pull out the win this year.
So you said you were born the year they won the game.
1987, the only time they've been able to beat Deckerville.
Was mom and dad from Kingston or something? Scotty, yeah, celebrating?
Celebration after? No. No, we were actually a Carsonville family. So I got to go back and see what game Carsonville won.
Okay.
When's the last time Carsonville beat Deckerville?
Well,
they did. Yeah, didn't they back in their state championship year, or they didn't play each other?
I don't think they played each other. Okay.
I don't think they were. Yeah.
All right. So hopefully they can get a game in. Of course, on September 30th, they'll be up against Deckerville. That's going to be a big game. Then Kingston will have KPEC, Mayville, and Carsonville, Port Sanlac. So they can get through that.
That's a tough stretch, though, because, I mean, KPEC's proven that they're tough, and, Mayville always plays tough, and especially when it's a rivalry game against Kingston. And then CPS at the end, you got Coach Eric Artzel coming back to Kingston. So, I mean, there's some storylines there. There's going to be some added, push towards trying to win that game. I wouldn't be surprised if Kingston takes care of business.
So maybe the Wildcats will face some competition. Finally, I would say they did lose Auburn and Hills Oakland Christian because that's the last time they played back in September 9th. They had the forfeit win over Flint International, so they didn't have a game. They'll have KPEC followed by Genesee, then Deckerville, Kingston, and Ashley. That's quite a gauntlet there for the Mayville Wildcats themselves. So they're going to have a tough one against KPEC this week, Scotty.
Remember, Mayville was the first team to ever beat KPEC as an 8-player team, which came last year in week 8.
That's right, yeah.
It switched over three-quarters of the way or almost done with the season, and Mayville took them on and defeated them last year. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. We haven't heard from Mayville in a couple weeks or a week or at least or week and a half. because they didn't play last week. So it'll be interesting to see what they come back with, rested up, been able to get some guys healthy after that crushing loss to Oakland Hills Christian. But, you know, we'll see what they can retaliate. I mean, Mayville did score first in that game against Oakland Hills Christian, so they showed life right away. I believe Hunter Levine got the touchdown run, but they just weren't able to figure anything out after that. So if they can get a win over KPAC, I mean, that's got to feel pretty good coming off that forfeit win and that week off and picking up a win against the Chiefs. So we'll see what Coach Campbell and the Wildcats have in store.
Well, yeah, and you got to like Mayville's chances against Genesee and Ashley. So then you really just need one win out of the three, KPAC, Deckerville, or Kingston. And, you know, if you can win one there, you know, maybe we're talking about Mayville in the playoffs.
Yeah, playoff points, right?
Playoff points, yeah.
All they need to do is recruit the movie cast, the Wildcats. You get your Goldie Hawn, you get your Wesley Snipes, you get your Woody Harrelson out there. Boom. You got the win. That's all you need.
I think Woody Harrelson in his prime, and especially Wesley Snipes, I think they'd be all right.
Yeah, there you go. All right, when we come back, we're still in eight-player football. From this break, we'll come back and talk about the Peck Pirates, North Huron also, and then we'll finally get into the VWAC. Coming your way here on Sportsline Radio, High School Football Sports Show on WMIC.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
There are names of businesses in our hometown that stand out because of their reputation, their professionalism, and their longevity. One of these cornerstones is the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Since 1978, Grant Smith has been preserving and providing security through health insurance policies when most needed. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency today and know that he will also be here for you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
And welcome back to Sportsline Radio, High School Football Sports Show. Still on the High School 8 Player Football talk, giving a lot of love to High School 8 Player Football. I've already gone through Kingston, Deckerville, Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, and KPAC in Brown City. Let's talk about the big win for the Peck Pirates in the NCTL division. They are in, help me out here because I'm getting confused.
The NCTL Stripes division.
Stripes division. And Peck right now kind of holding on to a lead here. After their first week one loss to Brown City, they've been undefeated ever since, and they got another win this past week.
Yeah, with the Stripes being so balanced this year, everybody's kind of beating up on each other, except for Peck. You know, Peck is the lone undefeated team in the Stripes right now. Meanwhile, everybody else either has one or two losses. So Peck doing a good job of, you know, building on that lead in first place. Pretty interesting game this week against Ashley. Ashley was a team probably at the bottom of the barrel team in the Stripes last year, but This is a team that's made some pretty big strides, and they gave Peck a battle. They did a good job. I say limiting Caleb Lettner, but he still finished with 169 yards and two touchdowns on 25 carries. But, you know, that was something that Coach McDaniel mentioned after the win. You know, Ashley's game plan was to try and shut down Caleb Lettner. And 169 yards and two touchdowns is still a great game. Mm-hmm. But that is also the best a team has done in shutting him down. I mean, even against Brown City, he had 200 yards. So for Peck, you know, if Ashley's shutting down your run game, what do you do? Well, you go to the air. Brady Babcock, 5 of 9, 156 yards, two touchdowns, one to Caleb Lettner, one to Stephen Van Conen. A good job for Peck, 42-26 victory. And what a game for Babcock. You know, he not asked to do a whole lot in the passing game for the first through the first 3 weeks. Because, you know, if you're beating Caseville and Akron, you don't really need to go to the air all that much. But
I just want to say that this is an Ashley team that's 1-3 also.
They are.
They play in the Stars division also. So
they are in the Stripes.
They are in the Stripes?
They are in the Stripes.
Okay.
If you look at Ashley, where they were last year, this was a team.
You're right. Yep.
This was a team. They were kind of in the same boat as USA. They ended up forfeiting some games. They did end up playing their final game of the season against Peck, actually. And at that point, they only had 8 players on the team. So major credit to Ashley to stick with it last year. And then this year they came back. I believe they had a nice win over New Haven Merritt.
Yep.
So that's a nice win. They actually held the lead against Deckerville week one. 26 points against Peck, you know, that's a pretty solid showing.
Yeah.
That's the thing in the Stripes. You can't take a week off, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody has the ability to beat, you know, whoever.
So I want to say Peck started off week one against Brown City. Now mm-hmm. we know what Brown City is all about. That was 64-12 loss. But then they played Caseville. Akron Fairgrove, good win there, 50-22. Now the win over Ashley, 42-26. So
yeah, you know, the Pirates. Yeah, the Pirates just taking care of business. And, you know, I think in the preseason we kind of felt that Peck was probably one of the favorites. We didn't know for sure exactly what to expect from the Stripes. We still don't, you know. We mm-hmm. could still see. I mean, they have to go to All Saints this week, and
yeah, that's gonna I think it's gonna be a tough game now.
All Saints is always a tough game. They always play Peck pretty well. But if we can see Peck, you know, because the thing with Peck is everybody knows what the game plan is. We're mm-hmm. gonna give the ball to Caleb Lettner, and you guys can try and stop him if you want. And so far, nobody's been able to do that. Except for Ashley, kind of a little bit. But if you have this passing game, if you can go to the air 156 yards on 5 completions, that is a huge weapon, and that is going to make Peck's offense very hard to stop. And, you know, to go along, so Brady Babcock had 40-yard touchdown pass to Stephen Van Conen, 48-yard touchdown pass to Caleb Lettner. He also ran in 2 touchdowns. So you already know what you're getting with Caleb Lettner. Stephen Van Conen, he's been contributing quite a bit on offense. He stands out more defensively. But if you can get this type of production out of your quarterback position every week, Peck's going to be a very dangerous team to try and stop.
The All Saints, I want to point out, they lost in week one to Oakland Christian, Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, 44-6. They beat North Huron, 28-16. They lost to New Haven Merritts, 30-38, who Ashley beat.
Yeah.
And they defeated Caseville just 36-0. So, for Peck, you know, walking in, but it's hard to win on the road.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I'm pretty sure, so you said All Saints lost to New Haven?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this, but I think the starting quarterback for All Saints got injured near the end of that game, and New Haven was able to pull it out. But, I mean, that just goes to show that anybody can beat anybody in the Stripes. We saw, you know, North Huron take care of CPS. But it's a very interesting division to follow this year because, you know, other than Peck, you know, Peck has proven that they are the front runners at this point. Now, they still have a lot of work to do, But it's just such a fascinating division because you never know what to expect on a week-to-week basis.
North Huron got their win over Carson for Port Sanilac, 20-8. Second straight win. They beat Caseville the week before also, and week four over Carson for Port Sanilac, 20-8. Low-scoring affair. Kind of a disappointing loss here for the Tigers.
Yeah, that's, you know,
after they won over Ashley themselves 32-22. So,
right, yeah. And, you know, CPS, they're such a young team that, you know, you don't really know what you're going to get week in, week out. But on the other hand, North Huron, they're always one of the toughest teams in the stripes. Mm-hmm. And
they're a young rebuilding team.
They're too, a young rebuilding team. And, you know, over the past few years, they've had a lot of stars. You know, Will Case, most notably at the quarterback position. But the thing that made North Huron such a good football team was their tough physical play. And, you know, that's just what North Huron did to CPS last week. And you can tell by the final score, 20-8. You know, North Huron just grinded out a win. And I think North Huron's going to be able to do that to a lot of teams in the stripes because that's just something that Coach Knobloch has, you know, instilled into the program. And, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're rebuilding or, you know, if you've lost some talent or, you know, whatever's going on. If you're tough and physical, you're going to win some games. And it won them the game against CPS.
Do you have anything on CPS yard-wise and what they
did? Yeah, another great game for Nick Lewis. He's really hit his stride, you know, four weeks into the season, three games into the season. He had 17 carries, 130 yards, a touchdown, and the two-point conversion. CPS also got 30 yards from Colton Sharp, 37 yards from Alex Schuneman, and 17 yards from Mikey Jaso. Sorry, Mikey.
from one Mike to another.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. Like we said, you know, CPS is just going to have to get back to work. There's no off weeks in the stripes. They got New Haven Merritt
this week, yeah.
The nice thing is CPS back at home this week. Yeah. They got a nice home stretch here. And I think they'll be fine. I think they're going to bounce back against New Haven Merritt. Don't know a whole lot about New Haven Merritt, but that was a game. They lost that game last year, and I'm pretty sure that's one that they would like to have back last year. So I think they're going to come out ready to play this week and hopefully get back on the winning side of things because they're still 2-2, correct? I mean they're not out of you know, the playoff conversation. They're going to need to do some things to get back into the stripes conversation, but they're, by all means, they are still in the conversation for, you know, a lot of success this year.
So they got New Haven Merritt this week, and then the All Saints, Caseville, Peck, and end the season with Kingston also for the Carsonville Port Sanilac Tigers. All right, eight-player football. A lot about eight-player football. You almost want to have another day and hour for BWAC. We got that coming up here on Sportsline High School Football Sports Show. We'll be right back.
Run with us on a John Deere Z365R Z-Track mower. Built for taking it easy. That's right. We're talking lemonade on a lazy afternoon easy. Or a staycation with your garden gnome easy. Because we're all about keeping it simple. That's why we added the Easy Change 30-second oil change system. To make the job nice and simple. And with the convenience of standard mulch control, you'll control your clippings without any extra effort. So you can get back to the good stuff. Because lawns aren't just for mowing. They're for living. Nothing runs like a deer. Get a new Z300 Series zero-turn mower with 0% APR for 24 months at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 1-800-226-8903.
See your John Deere dealer, Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Bad Axe, Carroll, Marlette, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Reese, and Rochester Hills.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts,
Unlimited data and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Welcome back to Sportsline High School Football Sports Show, a recap of Week 4 action and looking ahead to Week 5 also. We finally make it to the Blue Water Area Conference. Hey, they got a lot of love in the last couple weeks. We had to give a little bit more love to certain leagues out there, and we did that. Let's talk about this. Croswell Lexington didn't have a game this week due to the forfeit they had against Algonac. Did they even bother to try to search for a game, or they just couldn't find an opponent that matched up that week?
Right. They actually did. So with Algonac, they told the BWAC that they were not playing before the season started. So that allowed teams to go out and try and find games. We saw Elmont and North Branch both pick up Hamtramck. Richmond played Detroit something. But there just wasn't really anything for Croslex that particular week. They tried to get something put together. Nothing came to fruition. And then... you know, they were a little banged up.
Yeah.
And I think it just came at the right time to, take a breather and, get things recentered and, get ready to go for the Helmet Trophy this week.
Yeah, they're going up against the Yale Bulldogs, who are coming off a big win over the Richmond Blue Devils themselves also. So I'll give a big shout out to Yale Bulldogs in that game where they had 256 total yards. 166 yards passing. Yes, I said passing for the Yale Bulldogs. You're under the Garrett Grunman offense, former Croswell Lexington head coach. 90 yards rushing also. Connor Jakubiak, James Taylor Barr with the touchdowns, and also Joshua Craig, Ty LaForce also from Connor Jakubiak, the quarterback, or maybe it could be Kubiak. Either way, just seeing a good variety of players getting the ball here on the Yale Bulldog offense. But it's, behind the play of Connor.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Yale actually did some nice things defensively as well. I think they had a couple of interceptions. And I think...
I wasn't expecting this win for Yale Bulldogs against Richmond.
To be honest, it was so hard to gauge Yale because they had played North Branch and then Elmont, I believe. They had two really tough games back-to-back. Yeah. And, they didn't really perform all that well in those games, but those are against two of the top teams in the BWAC. Mm-hmm. And I think Yale came into this game a little more battle-tested. Richmond obviously had the game with Croslex, but other than that, their schedule isn't anything too special up until this point. And I think that really paid off for Yale. They took their lumps the first couple weeks, and now they can take advantage of getting a big win against Richmond, maybe build some momentum, and it's a rivalry game against Croslex. Playing in Yale. On the other hand, Croslex has had 2 weeks to prepare for Yale. Croslex hasn't had much trouble with this rivalry in the past few years. But, it's a rivalry game. It's a trophy game. You never know. You never know what'll happen. And I'm looking forward to seeing if Yale can build on this momentum. Because we've talked all season about them. We're not sure that they're a playoff team quite yet, but they're ready to make that next step. And beating a team like Richmond, that's part of taking that next step.
Yeah, Jeremy Griffith also getting a 36-yard TD pass from Connor Jakubiak. Trey Graham scored the lone touchdown, I do believe, for the Richmond Blue Devils in the game. Josh Taylor Barr, 11 attempts, 55 yards, and a rushing touchdown also for the Yale Bulldogs. So they'll take on the Croswell Lexington Pioneers, who are coming off their win over the Armada Tigers, if you recall. We covered that game on Sand Lake Broadcasting, a 34-12 win. Well, Armada was able to bounce back big. They get the win. 48-0 against the Emily City Spartans, 27 points in the first quarter alone, 14 in the second quarter, and then they just kind of took it easy, took the gas off the pedal. 431 rushing yards for Armada, just 46 yards passing. Good bounce back win for the Armada Tigers against the Emily City Spartans. So.
Yeah, and I think that just kind of proves what we already knew about Armada. Despite the double-digit loss to Croslex, that's a great football team. Yeah. And you said, over 400 yards rushing?
Yeah.
I'm assuming a majority of that was in the first half.
They still look pretty good in against Kroslax. It's just a lot of their drives were time-consuming, I thought.
Yes, yeah. I think that was a big problem against Kroslax. You know, once Kroslax got up, Armada did move the ball, but not with enough urgency, maybe used up a little bit too much time. But, yeah, this is a nice win for Armada. We all know Imlay City is a little bit down this year, but you know, it's nice to see Armada bounce back and take care of business.
So Armada is going to have to keep taking care of business at home, as they'll have the Almont Raiders. We'll talk about that game coming up now. We'll take another break here because we really want to, you know, give you the meat and potatoes on this one. It was North Branch at Armada. A lot of history behind this. We'll explain that when we come back. But North Branch got that win 34-14 against the Almont Raiders. That was the lowest point scored other than the minus one for Almont Raiders, I believe, at that point. 14 points only scored against the North Branch Broncos, who won 34-14. We'll talk about that game when we come back here on Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show, WMIC AM 660. We'll be right back.
There are names of businesses in our hometown that stand out because of their reputation, their professionalism, and their longevity. One of these cornerstones is the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Since 1978, Grant Smith has been preserving and providing security through health insurance policies when most needed. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency today and know that he will also be here for you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Kroslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes six loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Kroslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
And welcome back to Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show, talking about the Blue Water Area Conference finally. And we left off about Armada getting their win over Imlay City, a big one. And that was a 48-0 win. Now they come in to host Almont this week. And Almont smartened with their loss to the North Branch Broncos on their home field. Almont lost on their home field to North Branch Broncos 34-14. It wasn't a blowout. You know, I want to put that out there, but it seemed like North Branch really controlled the ground game a lot better than the Almont Raiders in this game.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to North Branch. We knew that North Branch was a good team.
Yeah.
But what we had talked about last week was, you know, they don't really have that win on their schedule so far that stands out. You know, they hadn't quite played anybody all that great.
Yeah.
Now, that didn't mean we didn't think North Branch was capable of beating Almont. But we were just looking forward to seeing how North Branch would play against one of the top-tier BWAC teams. And they took care of business.
Yep.
I mean, it was offensively, defensively holding Almont to just 14. This is a great team. You know,
a lot of returning players from the last couple of years too. This unit is still together at the core of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they lost some really good players, but still,
yeah,
some of these younger players are now in this big role.
Right, so. And you know they put up great numbers running the ball for the first three games, but it was nice to see what they did against defense that, you know, is a little bit better than the type of defenses that they had seen so far.
Yeah, 356 total yards for North Branch, 280 yards rushing, 76 yards passing. However, They did give up 292 yards defensively to Almont. Almont's still a good team here. Mm-hmm. So Armada is a good team too, but Almont is just as good. So this can be a pretty exciting game. I do believe Thumbtugger Sports is going to be covering this on Friday night also. Jonathan Bishop is going to be heading out there. Rushing-wise, 225 yards, 67 yards passing for Almont.
Okay, and what did you say was the game this week?
Armada and Almont this
week. Okay, yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
That'll be a great one, yeah.
And the other thing I popped out at me is Damascus was not the focus, you know? It was the other players. Henney, 16 attempts, 117 yards and a touchdown. Swash, just 20 yards. Might be some issues there. Lucas Chapman, 17 yards and a touchdown also. Maybe a lot of short field action here going on.
Yeah, but that's
maybe turnover and downs also. So
that's also something we talked about with North Branch is when you have that many weapons, you don't really know who to key in on. So, you know, maybe Almont just did a good job of taking away Damascus and taking away Swosh. And, you know, maybe it was Henny's night. But that's what makes North Branch so dangerous is the fact that they have these different options. And, you know, it any given night, it could be, you know, a different guy.
It was 0-0 through the first quarter, so nobody scored in that one.
Okay.
12 points scored by North Branch in the second quarter. Almont got a score in the third quarter. That was the third score of the game. Bryce Furman, by the way, Jeremy Furman's son, who plays for Almont, got a score. It was 12-7 at point. It wasn't a blowout.
No.
Far from it, but 6 points scored by North Branch in the third quarter. Lucas Chapman, 2-yard run. 2-point conversion fail. It was 18-7, so that's a pretty good, comfortable lead.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can get another score, Ryan Henney with a 55-yard TD run, a big play there. A breakdown on defense by Almont there was 26-7. Almont got another TD, Matthew Mizo, a 17-yard pass from Trenton Cruz, and it was 26-14, but a 12-point lead helps. And then when you get another touchdown, like North Branch had in the fourth quarter, 3 touchdowns total in the fourth quarter, 34-14 is a comfortable lead there to have. But when you have a 2-touchdown lead and you're a running team and you're grinding out the clock, helps a lot.
Yeah, well, and when you're playing a team like North Branch, you got to be perfect on defense. Otherwise, you know, you could stop them, you know, for 3 quarters, but then they're going to break off a 55-yard touchdown run the first time you make a mistake. Really quick, you mentioned Bryce Furman with the touchdown. That was something we had talked about last week. And I don't remember if I sent this to you or not, but Paul Costanzo.
Yes, I sent it to my boys, too.
Yeah,
that was a great article.
Yeah, Paul Costanzo, the former sports editor at the Port Huron Times Herald, he did a story for the MHSA second half about Coach Jeremy Furman at North Branch and his son Bryce Furman at Almont. I would highly recommend giving that a read, along with anything else Paul puts out. He doesn't do a ton of stories, but when he does, they are must read.
So. Yeah. So North Branch has Hamtramck. Sorry, that's a win. Then they'll have Richmond. That's a win. Then they have Armada. That's a question mark.
Yeah.
Then Croswell Lexington and then Three Rivers. Those bottom two games, Armada and Croswell, are going to be very interesting games here for North Branch. So they get a little bit of a break here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Richmond's going to give them all they got. I know that.
Yep.
And then they'll have Three Rivers and Week 9, who are 3-1 at this point right now.
Okay.
So that's what North Branch has. And Almont, of course, the big game against Armada. Tune in for that game on Thumbtugger Sports on Channel 1.
And if you're Almont, you need this one, right?
I mean,
same with Armada, though.
Yes.
If you get 2 losses in the BWAC, that pretty much knocks you out, I would think, because I don't see North Branch or Croslex suffering 2 losses. So big week for Almont and Armada.
All right, we'll be right back here on Sportsline on WMIC.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for 1 full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191, or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
All right, welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. By the way, yeah, Scotty Bowlesby had to leave for a game, by the way. So yeah, that's why you haven't heard him since the E-Player football segment.
He's a busy guy. He was heading off to North Branch to watch North Branch volleyball against Yale, and I'm actually pretty jealous of him because North Branch is a very good volleyball team this year and ranked number one in their division in the state. We all know Jim Fish, legendary head coach over there. Probably going to see him in the state finals again. So I'm looking forward to hearing from Scotty tonight, see how they looked.
All right. So we left off on the BWAC. We talked about that at the tail end of our Sportsline show. That's Mike Gallagher, the San Lake County News. Pick up his publication tomorrow and Wednesday on newsstands or late tonight, maybe near midnight. And online subscription also, as well as the Tuscola County Advertiser. I do want to make a shout out to Paul Adams for appearing on the show yesterday. Also carried that show also for us. From the Huron County View. His edition is free online, Huron County View on Thursday also. We just left off in the BWAC. Let's go with these BWAC games as we head into week five. Do you believe this is going to be on Thumbtogeter Sports, Thumbtogeter.com, Channel 1. It's Elmont at Armada. Elmont coming off a loss to North Branch. They're going to be heading on the road at Armada. Armada wants to keep up the momentum. Elmont wants to get back on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Croswell-Lexington is at Yale also. They're playing for what? The
Helmet Trophy, yep.
Hamtramck at North Branch. Happy that North Branch was able to find a game. Hamtramck is being picked up by everybody. I think Bad Axe might even pick him up.
I think everybody's giving it a try, yeah.
Emily City's at Richmond. That's an interesting game right there.
Richmond, that was a team before the loss against Yale last week. We were talking about maybe playoffs for them because they had won the St. Clair game. They had picked up the non-conference win against Detroit Academy. They had, if they had picked up the win against Yale, you know, that was a team that was maybe in the playoffs. That looks pretty unlikely now, but it would still be nice to see them get back on track. Or, you know, Imlay City, maybe they break through for their first win.
Let's get back on track with eight-player football once again.
Yeah.
Their list of games, Ashley's at North Huron. I do believe that's a Thursday game also. Interesting game right there.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be, you know, Ashley goes to the air a lot. And, like we said, North Huron's a physical team, so we'll see if Ashley's ready for that.
And on Friday, Auburn Hills Oakland Christian at Dackerville. Another interesting game there. I do believe that's going to be on Thumbtogeter Sports Channel 2 at thumbtogeter.com.
Yeah, I'll be listening to that one because that, Oakland Christian just does a lot of great things offensively.
Already reading the stats on it today, yeah.
Right, so. Yeah. And, Dackerville's a team that, despite the loss against Toledo Christian, they're figuring a lot of things out and they're hitting their stride right now, so.
We are in overtime, by the way. We'll join the Jesse Kelly show in just a bit. New Haven Mary is at Carsonville Port Sanilac. A game that Carsonville Port Sanilac wants. Do they have enough against the Mustangs? We'll have to find out.
Yes, give me the Tigers. It's homecoming week. CPS is going to get it back on track. I'm expecting a big game from Nick Lewis, so I'm looking forward to that one. I'll be there I'm being there for the first half of that one, and then maybe sneak over to Yale for some Helmet Trophy action. I was looking forward to covering CPS Week 1 against Flint International. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that didn't work out. So I'm looking forward to seeing CPS for the first time this week.
And we are looking forward here on Sanilac Broadcast. We will be covering a Carsonville Port Sanilac game. We're just trying to figure out which one. This one would have been good, but there's a big game we're going to talk about here coming up here in just a bit. So.
Well, and I think PAC CPS should be circled on the calendar maybe later in the year. I think that's scheduled for a Thursday. So,
oh, that'd be great. Could do two games in a week.
Yeah.
So, all right, Caseville is at Akron Fairgrove. Will the horn be blowing again?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Sorry,
PAC Pirates at the Bay City All Saints. Another interesting game there. PAC seen some competition, I do believe. They took on Ashley, got the win, and now they're going to get the All Saints. And we'll see if the All Saints are healthy enough at full strength to take on this pretty good PAC team.
Yeah, this is going to be this one's going to tell us a lot about the Pirates. Like I said, the All Saints usually plays them very well. It was a good game last year. So we'll see. You know, it'd be nice to see Peck keep rolling through the stripes, but as we said, week-to-week basis, you have no idea what to expect, so...
K-Peck is at Mayville this week. Also, another interesting K-Peck game.
K-Peck is at Mayville, yeah.
Mayville's got a lot of experience in eight-player football. Wildcats are, you know, I never look past that team. You can't.
No. Well, no, and they have a great coach in Mike Campbell.
Yep.
He's going to have them ready. They've actually had 2 weeks to get ready for this game without a game last week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give me the Wildcats in that one. I like that matchup.
Burton Atherton at Genesee, and then we have Kingston already get the Flint International win. 1-0 with a forfeit. They don't have a game this week. They'll have Deckerville next week. You got to prepare for that.
Yeah, give them 2 weeks.
I think you're going to need 2 weeks to prepare for Deckerville.
Yeah, give them 2 weeks. Get ready for Deckerville, yeah.
Which I think is the biggest game, probably the second, maybe the first biggest game in eight-player football in the Thumb area. It's Brown City at Martin also.
Yeah, I think Brown City, they made their statement this past weekend against Sutton's Bay. Now you get to be in that conversation of some of the better teams in the state. But that also means you got to keep winning, you know, and this is going to be a great test for Brown City. Again, we don't know much about Martin, but if Brown City does what they did against Sutton's Bay, the way they were running the ball, the way they were playing defense, I'd give the Green Devils a puncher's chance in just about any game they have left on the schedule.
Well, this game has been announced a forfeit. It will be Bad Axe winning over Unionville Seabourn, a forfeit by USA. That's the second straight forfeit.
Yeah, that one's unfortunate. I know Bad Axe probably would have rather got the game in, get those reps. But yeah, maybe we'll see USA next week.
Carroll at Lakers. Carroll intends to play this game. They want to play this game.
Yeah, kudos to Carroll, because that was a game that was also potentially on the forfeit list. Carroll, with the hard-fought game against Vassar last week, in the loss, they lost a few of their players to injury, including their top player, their starting quarterback. But Scotty was telling us earlier, he talked to the coach, and the coach said, hey, we got enough guys, we're going to play. So kudos to Carroll. Unfortunately, that one's probably going to be a little lopsided, but... You know, that's homecoming for Lakers, so, you know.
Lakers got to be happy about this.
Lakers has got to be happy about Carroll coming out, and, you know, great job by the Tigers. That it's going to be a great, great thing for their program to continue playing despite the injuries and whatever may happen in these upcoming games.
Vassar at Reese is an interesting game here.
Yes, it is. Yes,
Reese
it is.
Reese could go 4-1 at this. I mean, no, Vassar at 4-1.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think anybody had that on the on their minds before the season. But, yeah, you know, I think Reese, this is an opportunity for them to get a win as well.
They're 1-3 right now. So.
They're 1-3. They defeated USA. Haven't really been competitive in their other games, but, you know, this is kind of the same thing as last week. Vassar, Carroll, I know you talked to Scotty about it.
That was a 19-14 win for Vassar.
Yeah, you know, just a really competitive game. I'm expecting the same here with Vassar Reese. I think it should be a great ball game.
All right. Also in the Greater Thumb Conference, Ubley at Memphis. That's a win for Ubley. They're going to go 5-0.
Yeah.
We're going to see maybe some other players play here, maybe in the second quarter or second half for Ubley.
Yeah, this is going to be a game for Ubley to have the opportunity to get some of the younger guys some reps.
Kudos to Memphis, though.
Kudos to Memphis.
Get a team out there.
Yep, they got the team out there. They suffered a tough one last week. I think Cass City was taking out some frustrations on Memphis. That was a 70-0 game. But yeah, kudos to the Yellow Jackets. I'm sure Ubley will, they won't run it up on them. So
Cass City, obviously in the rebuilding phase here. They do have some seniors who are showing up here this year. Landon Schott's one of them. Yeah, you know, but then week one, they had a win over Reese. We covered that game on Thumb Tailgater, 50-0. Lost to the Lakers, 39-12. They did put up 12 points. Lost to Harbor Beach. They put up 16, but and a loss 30-16. They won over Memphis last week, 70-0. So this is a very interesting game, not only for Sandusky, but for Cass City, both in the Greater Thumb East, but now looking for a win to maybe sneak in with some playoff points to sneak in.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, and we didn't really get to talk about Sandusky-Marlette, and, you know, that's what I get for missing the show on Monday. But, you know, Sandusky, they're a team that they're right there, I think, you know, in their first... You know, their first two games, Bad Axe Lakers, those are tough. Memphis, you know, that's a gimme game. Sorry, Memphis. And then last week, that Marlette game, you know, things bounced differently. You know, that's a game Sandusky potentially could have won. And I think they're trending in the right direction. The run game was getting going a little bit. Kyle Gibord had some nice throws. So, you know, I think a lot of people are going to give Cass City the win in this one. But they both do a lot of things very similar. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come down to who does it better. And
or who has a better defense.
Who has a better defense, yeah. So I'm not, you know, I'm not hopping off the Sandusky bandwagon just yet.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens against Cass City.
Yeah, Sandusky lost to Lakers in week one, lost to Bad Axe. We covered that game in week two, 52-14. Got the win over Memphis, 52-14, and they got within a touchdown against Marlette at one point in the game. They turned the ball over a couple times, and that was did him in. Marlette got the win 28-14, so, you know, I would look out for the Sandusky team or burning after that. You know, you're coming in here.
The one thing I wanted to ask you about that game, because that was your game of the week as well for Sanilac Broadcasting, and, you know, kudos to Marlette. That's a very nice win. Their defense looked sharp. The run game looked fantastic. And, you know, I had seen them 2 weeks earlier against USA, and they Marlette looked like a completely different team defensively, did a lot of nice things offensively. But my question for you, that first drive of the game, Sandusky takes it right down the field, fumbles it in the end zone, touchback, first play of the game, Marlette.
Yeah.
First offensive play of the game for Marlette, they take it 80 yards for a touchdown. If Sandusky scores there, do we have a different outcome?
I think we do, because it might change.
It definitely
maybe a little bit of a decision on the game here.
It,
you know?
It swung the momentum so quickly. And, you know, it's hard to say that it would have given Sandusky the win, but I think it would have been a much different ball game if Sandusky scored there. But, yeah, just a great rivalry game.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of nice things out of both teams. Kyle Gibord, we know Sandusky is a running team, you know, but that touchdown throw at the beginning of the fourth quarter, the 66-yard touchdown to Brennan Long, that's the best throw I've seen all season.
Yes.
Out of any quarterback,
yes.
That is the best throw I've seen all year. That was on the money, down the sideline, hit him in stride. So what I'd like to see is Sandusky maybe throw it around a little bit more. You have a really talented quarterback in Kyle Gibord. Brennan Long, you know, he's been him and Danny Tovar, the two leading receivers for Sandusky. So I'd kind of like to see a little more throwing from Sandusky.
So, speaking of Marlette, that is our game of the night once again. We're returning to Marlette. It's homecoming night at Marlette. Harbor Beach, though, is coming to town, and they're angry on their thumping by Ubley. They got shut out, which hasn't happened since I don't know when. So Harbor Beach at Marlette. Marlette wants to get this game. Now, this is a different look to a Marlette team that only lost by 2 points last year.
Right.
To Harbor Beach. Now, Marlette has beaten probably a really good team in Harbor Beach a few years ago, I remember.
They did. Yeah, that was kind of a
so I would watch one. Out, Harbor Beach. They can sneak. Marlette can sneak in and beat you.
Right.
But Marlette's got to limit the mistakes.
Yep.
They got to keep the ball.
Yep.
Control the pace. And they have been doing that. They've been running. Not as much passing, but just enough passing.
Yeah. So, well, and I think the biggest thing for Marlette...
you're seeing similar styles of offense here, too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, so. The biggest thing for me with Marlette was defensively. You know, they looked a lot better against Sandusky. And then if you look at that box score, I believe they were 2 of 10 on third down, which obviously not very good.
Mm-hmm.
But they're 5 of 6 on fourth down. So if you can trust your team to pick up fourth downs like that, you're going to be able to sustain some drives, which is what you're going to need to do against Harbor Beach, and, you know, kind of keep the ball out of their hands. But we also saw a lot of big plays in the running game. Logan Malloy, obviously, right off the bat with the 80-yarder. But Wesley Chapin, he had a couple of big runs. Quentin Sarton, another great job at quarterback. And
this time they really didn't have to lean on him too much.
No, not as much. But it is interesting, you know, the past, you know, few years, Marlette, you know, they always hang with Harbor Beach. They maybe pull off an upset here or there. You know, it's homecoming week. Marlette with a lot of momentum after the rivalry win against Sandusky. That's a huge confidence booster for such a young team. But like you said, you know, Harbor Beach, they're angry, man. Yeah. They're 42-0. They're going to get back to work this week, and they're going to want to turn around and beat Marlette 42-0.
Yeah, I think this is a must win game for Marlette. Their next two games, they got Harbor Beach and Cass City coming up. Must win games to get those playoff points.
Yeah, you know, that's, we talked about that. You know, looking at Marlette's schedule, it'd be nice to have one of those games, especially because you look at Marlette's schedule, and in the preseason, I think we looked at that Vassar game as, you know,
yeah,
go ahead and put that one in the win column. But I don't know. I mean, they're both 3-1 right now. Vassar is a better team than we were expecting. But I like Marlette's chances against Vassar. I like their chances against Waterford, Our Lady of the Lakes. And they still have Memphis on the schedule.
Yep.
So that's six right there. And you know, it's not – the playoff system isn't six and you're in anymore like it used to be. But, you know, there's a lot of playoff points to be had there.
All right. That segment was our longest, 15-plus minutes, on Week 5 talk.
Yeah, and we were wrapping it up, yeah.
All right, that does wrap up Sportsline. We're in overtime past our 7 o'clock hour. We want to thank Mike Gallagher once again from the Salem County News joining us again for Sportsline on our Tuesday edition. Monday and Tuesdays, of course, Sportsline after your 5 o'clock news, and in podcast form by tomorrow, Wednesday also. The Monday podcast is already up on sandlakebroadcasting.com. A lot of great games this week, man.
A lot of great games. Yeah. I'm looking forward to catching a couple of them. A lot of good volleyball this week. If you're not doing anything tomorrow afternoon, Marlette cross country at the Marlette Airport. First time they're running the course there. I'm interested in checking that out. But yeah, it's a great time. It's a great time to be a sports fan right now. And I'm looking forward to joining you next week to talk about some of these games.
Right. And that was a 16-minute segment. That wraps it up here on our typical sports line in overtime here.
Sorry, Jesse Kelly.
WMIC AM 660 95.3 FM. Mike Gallagher, thank you.
Absolutely, buddy.
And we'll catch you folks come Friday night, 6:30 p.m. The pregame, it is Marlette Red Raiders hosting the Harbor Beach Pirates, 6:30 p.m. on WBGV 92.5 FM and streaming also at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Thank you for tuning in to Sportsline Radio on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. We now join Jesse Kelly's show here on WMIC, already in progress.